We thank God for giving us this lovely life today, and that we can come together to worship Him. As you've heard in the reading, the title today is a visit by Jesus Christ. I will entitle it, Jesus invites himself to a thief's house. Jesus invites himself to a thief's house. It was his trip to Jerusalem, but he needed to pass through Jericho. Jericho is one of those big cities which were destroyed by the Israelites when they crossed the River Jordan, coming to Canaan. You remember the story of Joshua, when they rounded the city 7 times until the walls were destroyed. This is the same city I am talking about today. Here lived a man, a very, very rich man. He had a very good position, working for the revenue or tax collectors. He was the chief of the people there, like a director of some sort. They say he was stealing monies. I think he says it himself when he declares it to Jesus Christ. So he was very rich. Tax collectors were known to be people who were taking money from the people. Dollar for dollar, they were putting dollar there and a dollar to themselves, to their own accounts. So they became so rich, and they were really feared by the people because they were raiding houses for those who were not paying taxes. So the commander-in-chief of them was Zacchaeus. Unfortunately, Zacchaeus had a small body, short. Though powerful, he was of the Jewish sect originally, because the name Zacchaeus is Jewish. Jesus declares it as well when he tells him that he has been forgiven his sins, when he says that he is the son of Abraham. Short as he were, he heard that somebody was going to pass through the city here, but he needed to see him. He didn't know that he was going to be his visitor that day. So, knowing himself that he is short, people know themselves. They know themselves whether they are tall or they are short. Zacchaeus knew himself. Even if we are sinners, if I make a mistake, I know that I've made a mistake. And most of the people, they know that they've made mistakes here and there. They can repent or they cannot repent. The decision is theirs. For Zacchaeus, they say he was always curious man, meaning that he was very fast. You know, tax collectors were very, very fast. I think because they were trained to be fast or to be careful, like the policemen. So when he came here, many people were waiting for Jesus to come because the news had already come there. So he joined them. He was supposed to be a man who had an inferiority complex, but because he wanted to see Jesus, he was so ambitious in such that he ignored the rest of the people and decided to go for a tree so that he can see Jesus. When big matches were being played in our country there, I used to see some people without money, but they wanted to watch the game. They had no TVs. So they would go to the stadium, even if they don't go in. they would rush to climb tall trees so that they watch the game from the tree up. I used to see many people, some falling from the trees there. So Zacchaeus was a man like that. It's not only Zacchaeus being knowing that he is short, who could try to make some efforts, right, to see the man who is coming, very important man, is coming. When I was a student, I lived with a colleague in one room, sharing in one dorm. But he always told me that, I love that girl, but I am scared of to approach her. I don't know how to approach her. What can I do? You know, that girl speaks about a short man. He's lucky he doesn't like short men. I am short. So what will I do? Look, I bought these shoes. He bought the shoes with high heel. Then he was trying these to wear them. He tried to walk like this. And he walked. When he went to the dining hall, there he would be wearing them. And he would walk near the girl and trying to be tall, as tall as possible. He said, what do you think? Can I try? I said, if you're scared of approaching her, write a letter. Write a letter. He said, I don't want to give people letters. I said, give the letter to me. So he wrote a letter, gave to the girl. But the girl loved the man. So you make plans to reach the heights which you are looking for, to reach the target which you are thinking about. You make plans to reach the desired results. Here is the man in the Bible. He looked for a sycamore tree and climbed on top. Jesus coming. So many people lame, blind. So many important people there, nicely wearing and smiling. Jesus Christ didn't look at them. He saw a man on top of the tree, but he called him by name, meaning that Jesus Christ is God. He knew the situation there. He knew the man by name. He even knew his house. He even knew his heart. So when this man came there for the glory of God, so that people will see the glory of God, because they criticized this man when Jesus Christ straightway called him, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I am going to your house. I will stay at your house today. People were bored. People were, you know, they became so angry. They said, had this man known that this man is a sinner, a terrible sinner, he wouldn't go to his house. How come is he going there? He's not a prophet. Why? Zacchaeus and Jesus Christ went to Zacchaeus' house. When they were there, I think there was a big feast there. Zacchaeus had a lot of money, so he did everything he could that day to please Jesus Christ. Seeing how lovely Jesus was and how open Jesus was, and considering the way he was chosen amongst the many in the town, that Jesus could come to his house, knowing that he was also a rich man, it touched his heart. He stood up and beat his chest and thanking Jesus to have come to his house. He said, today, I will give what I have taken from the people fourfold. That's what he said. I'll give it fourfold back to the people. If I have taken to the people, this is what we call restitution or restoration. I don't know which is the proper way to say. It might be restitution or restoration. Because I worked with one man also who was a thief in a bookshop. He was picking things, I didn't know. He was picking things every day. Picking things, selling them somewhere. Picking things, selling them somewhere. When he repented into another church, they had a police. they told him to really repent. They said, have you stolen anything? Declare. Yes, I've stolen. I bring everything that you've stolen. Some of them I've sold. They said, list them. He listed these things down. Then they said, can you go to the manager and tell him that you stole all these things? So they went there. This manager was a strict man too. The manager counted there, looked at the value of each item, and he said, pay them. They don't belong to me, they belong to the organization. Pay them. So he paid all those things. Then he started to become a Christian there in a new church. That is what we call restitution or restoration. You clear the debts, you clear the things which you were doing when you were a sinner. This is exactly what Zacchaeus was doing here. This is what he was doing exactly. Jesus, we don't hear Jesus Christ saying, do this, confess your sins. We don't hear him saying so. But he had an open heart to stand and say, today I am doing this, and I will give the poor half of my possession. That's what he said. Lord, half of my possession I'll give to the poor. If I have stolen some things, some money or other things from other people, I'll return them fourfold. What a repentance this was. The answer from Jesus Christ was that salvation has come to this house today. It was not salvation to only Zacchaeus. It was for his family. It was for the whole house. Because he had declared all what he had to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, have we ever declared our items to the Lord or our life to the Lord? Have we ever gone to the people we erred before or we sinned before to say, I did this, brother? Some people have done it, some people haven't done it. Some people, if you haven't done this thing, you find that you always have a guilty conscience. Guilty conscience until you run mad. They see you walking in the street like this, talking alone, talking to nobody, but talking. Then they say he's mad. So these are the things that touch the lives of people who have things in their heart, who have things in their lives, who have things. By the way, even if he was rich like that, even if he was in the family of Abraham, it doesn't mean that he was good. No, he wasn't. That's why he was stealing all these things. So he needed to repent. But there are so many people who are evading repentance because they said, I'm a child of Abraham. I'm okay. I'm a child of Abraham. So they thought they didn't need to repent. That's why John the Baptist there warned them when they were coming. He said, you, children of serpents, are you aware of the sins which you need to repent for? You claim you are children of Abraham. Do you know that Abraham can raise children from these stones? The stones he was talking about, the Gentiles, us. So, because people were beating their chests saying that they were children of Abraham, therefore they are all right. They were Jews, therefore they were God's people. Even if they sinned, they didn't need to declare what they had done. So we are lucky people today that we can come to God or Jesus Christ and speak to him to say that, Lord, I am coming to you. I am a sinner. I've done this and this. Can you forgive me today? And Jesus Christ is there to forgive us. He demonstrated this to this man who said, when he said, salvation has come to this house. Because Zacchaeus really repented by confessing with his mouth, professing with his mouth whatever he had done, and the intentions of what he was going to do from there. We are children of God today. I claim to be a child of God. Maybe you claim to be a child of God as well. But do you have any objective in your Christian life? Do you have any target? Or do you have any ambition? Are you so ambitious to do something for God? I refused to be a passenger in the church myself when I was young. I refused. I think when my wife saw me, she saw me in front of the interpreting for the big bishops in the church. I refused when I was a boy to be a passenger in the church. There was fire burning in my heart. Do it, do it, do something, do something. Sunday morning, we would wake up going to the street with the youth, organize the youth, you go to the street. We're doing what they was called open air, preaching there. It was not enough. Because when you come to church, you find the people like us, the elders, they are busy in the pulpit. Then we start to be passengers there. So I said, no. This fire can't just quench. That's the time when I went to Bible school. Bible school. Thereafter, I did a lot for God. I spent my life over 40, 50 years doing a lot for God. Not doing a secular job, but doing God's work. That is, if you have some fire in you, let's pray God to give us a fire so that we can work for Him. We should be jealous about our church as well. We should not allow our church to be half full. We should pray for our church to be full, even to apply for extension when it is overflowing. If all of us can have this fire, it can happen like that. Young people can overcrowded in this church. Women can be overcrowded in this church. Men as well. Something like that. If this fire, maybe the fire which was seen on the day of Pentecost in that room, it is the fire which should really touch us all. If it touches us, then we can start witnessing. We can start shaking. We can start shaking up. We can start moving around. We can start swimming around. We can start flying around. So this is what God wants us to do. But we need to declare our things as well before we do all these things. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you to hear the story of this short man, but a great man, the man who was so open to accept you and to declare his life to you. Father, help us today to learn from that. Help us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, to start to be salt of the world in the way that you like. Father, bless our church, bless our members all over, so that, Lord, they can be touched anew and start afresh so that the church can grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael.